everybody, this is Amber.
And this is Valerie.
And this is episode 2 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Woohoo!
You have made it! Yes. What is it? It's not the Phantom Menace. I forget what episode 2 is. The Clone Wars.
Attack of the Clones. There we go.
Yeah. Sorry, George Lucas, we don't want any of your money.
It's appropriate because they're releasing it in 3D, so it's fine.
That's true. First up, we have some news and updates on our website. We have added a tutorial by the lovely Media on how to make Sakura Haruno's cosplay from the anime Naruto. Mm-hmm. Also, we have added Foxy Cosplay to our gallery in the anime section, and you can wander over to both our podcast and our gallery pages to have a look at those. Also, we have updated our feeds. We now have 2 separate feeds, one for MPEG-4s and one for OGG format. So if for some reason you find in your browser that one feed does not work, go ahead and try the other one. One or the other should work, crossing our fingers. If for some reason that does not work either, fie on thee.
So please contact us. Let us know if it doesn't
yes.
work, because we want to make sure that it works for you. This is all for you guys.
Yes, send us an email at podcast@cospod.org and put something in the title to the effect of feed not working, and please tell me which feed. But I believe that is all the news and updates we have for this episode of Val. I believe you have a convention update.
Yeah, I do have a convention update. I will be attending a convention on the weekend of our episode 3 release. It'll be NakaCon. It'll be in Kansas City, Kansas, where I will be a guest cosplay judge as well as a cosplay guest. I'll be wearing Queen Beryl from Sailor Moon, so if you see me, feel free to run by, say hi to me. And that's all I got for it.
All right, so if you at NakaCon, go ahead and say hello. I'm sure Val doesn't bite very much.
No, I'm really nice, I swear. I just play the bad guys.
I actually will not be going to any conventions between now and Mini-Acon in mid-February, but I do have a small update, and that is that I have submitted 3 panels for Project Acon this year. With luck, those will be approved in a couple of months, so you guys will see me teaching there. I have actually been teaching there for about 3 years now, but I will be returning this year with some new material, so I look forward to seeing you all there. All right. I believe we have had a question from listeners.
Yep, we have a little question and a suggestion. After our first episode, we had a couple of people who really liked our Get to Know the Host section. So we kind of want to expand upon it. And this is kind of like a mini preview before we start doing our cosplay roundtable discussions. So this particular question is, how do we feel about cosplays in terms of those that are being bought, those that are made by yourself, and then the commissioned ones?
Yep. And how do you feel, Val, about purchased versus self-created cosplay?
You know what? I'm open to the concept that anybody can cosplay however they wish on whatever budget that they have. I'm not going to, you know, blast you if you bought your costume at Salvation Army, you know, big whoop. A lot of people will do that, and they modify it to fit their purposes, and that's totally cool. The only time I'll get missed at it is if they try to enter said pieces into a competition, because that's not supposed to happen. You'll get praise from me no matter how you wear your costume, because really, it's about you, and it's about you having fun with it. It's your hobby. You do what you want with it, so who cares what everybody else thinks?
Doesn't somebody have that as a motto, have it your way?
Yeah, I don't know who, though. I'm sure it's on a bumper sticker.
It's Burger King.
Oh. I don't eat fast food, so there you go.
Cosplay's version of have it your way.
There you go. So what's your opinion?
How do I feel about it? Wow, this is a massive question for me. Actually, I will admit, I actually started out feeling like more of an elitist that self-created cosplays were better than bought cosplays. Mm-hmm. And I know now that that's not the way you should go about it.
Right.
Of course, we all know in cosplay that there are 3 different, you know, qualities to cosplay. You can have the price, you have the quality of the costume, and you have the speed at which you get it. You get to pick 2. You can't ever have all 3.
Right.
And I've actually come to the conclusion that you need to do best for your budget, both for money and time. So that if for some reason you need a costume right away because you were invited to some big shindig and you need a costume right now, it's okay to purchase a costume. That's
okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
At the same time, if you're willing to wait just a little bit, and if you have some funds built up, I would say go ahead and commission somebody to make it if you feel you are not capable yourself. Now, this doesn't mean that you see an awesome costume and you go, oh, there's no way I can make that, and you don't try.
Right.
I say go ahead and try. It you'll never get any better if you don't practice, to be honest.
Right.
So I genuinely feel that all cosplayers should have to go through the process of making one costume. Even if they never wear it again, or even if they only wear it one time, go through the process because, one, it's not as bad as you think, and two, you'll have a better understanding when you see other cosplays of what they went through. Even if you purchase a costume, someone had to make that costume.
Right. I think there's also, you get a better appreciation for not only the work that everyone else does, but for yourself, and you realize, hey, I made something, and I'm proud of what I made. And I think it brings you to a whole new level of, you know, wanting to open up and try new things. So it's really not as bad as people make it out to be. It's just very time-consuming, and it takes some time to learn. If
mm-hmm.
you didn't put the time and effort into it, you'd be amazed at what you can get out of it.
Agreed. All right, so that is today's cost philosophy, and now we'll be moving on to today's segment.
Okay, so we have finished washing and drying the wig. Now, obviously, this is not the same wig. Hers is going to take a very long time to dry and detangle, so we wanted to kind of get the segment moving and keep rolling forward. But the same principles are going to apply even to a short wig such as this one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be the last detangling process, and all you need to do is just take your wide toothbrush and comb and go from the bottom and work your way to the top and just get any last minute tangles out.
Mm-hmm.
Most of this work you've probably already done in the bathroom, so you probably don't even need this last step. But it doesn't hurt whatsoever. I like to use my hand because I just like to get into the wig, but you can just stick this on a wig head or even on the Coke Zero bottle and comb it that way.
I have ample supplies of sewing, Michael.
So now that you are done, you are ready to go ahead and store it wherever you may store it. There are a couple of ways of going about this. The best method that I have been told is to get it back onto a foam wig head. And then what you can do is cover it either with a very large plastic bag, or even a couple of people told me you can just use a bunch of paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just supposed to help keep its shape and keep the fibers from moving. So you're less likely to lose a bunch of fibers when you're pulling it in and out of storage.
It also keeps the dust and the dirt off of it.
Yep. We like to keep it nice and clean and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
The method that I like to use, because I'm cheap and I don't have a whole lot of space to have like 500 wig heads sitting across my room, is I like to put it back in the bag that I originally received it in. And it's going to be a little bit different for each wig and each wig manufacturer, but most of the time they'll come with this black hairnet. And what I like to do is, and hopefully the camera can see all of this,
mm-hmm.
is just lay it back down in my lap, try to get it as straight and smooth as possible, and then gently get black cap back on top. Which of course is a little bit more difficult for the longer pieces of hair, but for the short pieces, you can see it's relatively easy.
If you have a longer wig, you may wish to braid it very loosely first, and then you
That's
can slide it in the
back. Very good tip. You can also do that with the curly hair wigs too that are very long.
Just make sure it's loosely,
and then
loosely braided.
Slide it back into its original bag, seal it, and then I store it wherever necessary. For me, it goes into one of my drawers, which I have labeled with the character that it corresponds to.
Mm-hmm.
I say, now for the medium and longer haired wigs, you're probably going to see something like this, and you can store it back in its original case just like that.
This, of course, as you can see, also has the black net bag,
yep.
which actually goes over the cardboard braids.
Yeah.
And this is just to make sure that you keep all of your longer hair in one place and together, obviously. Now, if you store it in this cardboard container, like so, you still run the risk of having it tangle a little bit,
yep.
which is why braiding it is a better idea for the longer wigs so that the fibers don't get all tangled up. But it works. It gets stored basically the same way. You put it in the net, or you put it in the cardboard container, gently roll it up, and then you slide it back
Again.
In its original bag.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's more common with the medium to the longer hair wigs. With the short hair wigs, you're probably not going to get that cardboard box. But you can even make that little cardboard insert for yourself if
mm-hmm.
you really wanted to.
You can use poster board if you want to as well.
And there you go. Mm-hmm. And then just store it wherever you need to. I personally like this method, again, because it's not like the wig heads where it has to be out in the open and it takes up so much space. This you can stick back into whatever container you keep your stuff in. And I know you do boxes for yours. Mm-hmm. I have a drawer that is just all of my wig heads and such. So
I have a very small apartment. Yeah. Storage is at a premium. But also you'll notice that a lot of these bags that they come in have small holes in them.
Yes.
And the wigs will get air circulation in them, so you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to vacuum seal the bags or anything. They'll be just fine as long as they're inside the bag.
So you treat your wigs like they're your own real hair.
Mm-hmm.
Just be very nice and gentle and kind to it, and they'll be kind right back to you.
Mm-hmm. They'll last a lot longer.
Yes.
If you do take better care of them, and you won't have to worry about purchasing another wig. If you do abuse the wig, you can tell.
Yes.
You can very easily
it'll abuse
tell.
You back.
You can see it in the wig,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. So just make sure that you're very gentle with it, no matter what you're doing to it, whether it's washing, drying, detangling. Just be very gentle with it, and you'll be less likely to damage the fibers.
Yep. All right, that's all I've got for this one. So hopefully all these tips will be really helpful to you for those with the short wigs, for those with the super long mega wigs of doom. So there you go. Enjoy.
That was Wig Care and Storage. Hi everyone! Today's book review is going to be on one of my favorite books in my entire cosplay reference collection. This is called The Complete Photo Guide to Sewing, and it's put out by The Singer Company, which is of course the sewing conglomerate that you all know and love. On the back, it claims to be the ultimate step-by-step sewing reference, photographed in full detail, and I actually fully agree with them. This is a fantastic reference book that goes into step-by-step detail. This book will work better if you are a visual learner. If for some reason you are not a visual learner, if you're a kinesthetic learner or an audio learner, this is probably not for you, simply because the way the book is laid out is in a very visual style. But that said, this is actually laid out incredibly well. The table of contents is very straightforward. It's laid out by the different parts of the garment in the order that you would complete them. So it begins with preparing the fabric, the different types of fabrics, moves into the basics of sewing, pattern layouts, and alterations, and then it moves into the more advanced techniques if you need them, which are tailoring, gathers, different seam types, lapels and collars, things like that. It actually does cover some things that will not help you with your cosplay, such as baby garments and draperies, and while those may not actually apply to your cosplay, they are useful techniques to have in your repertoire of sewing. So that said, it does have a small section of getting started in the book. It covers the different parts of a sewing machine, which can be useful if you've never used one before, and then all of the different tools that you might use with your sewing machine. This book is actually geared more towards beginners, but it does have things in here that intermediate and advanced sewers can use. This does cover sergers, so if you don't have one, you can actually safely skip these sections. But it does cover the different types of stitches, overlocks, and different techniques that you can use. The book does cover specialty accessories for sewing machines, which can include things like a blind stitch foot, a hammer foot, invisible zipper feet, things that you probably won't use on all of your cosplays, but that it's useful to be exposed to, because you will probably come across it. Unfortunately, one of the downsides to this book is that it is geared toward the female figure, as you can see on the pattern charts. Unfortunately, the book does not cover most male issues when it comes to fitting clothing, but it covers the feminine figure very well. So that is, unfortunately, a downside in that it doesn't cover that. The book is a fantastic basic reference for different fabric types. As you see, it shows photos of the different types of each category of fabric. It goes over the different characteristics of each one, the different size needles that you should use with each one, because there is actually a size needle that should be used with certain fabrics such as silk and crepe, and even leather and suede have their own styles of needles that should be used if you don't want to ruin it. Also, it gives you the different types of thread that you can use with each type of fabric. These are all, of course, suggestions. They're meant to be taken with a grain of salt. This isn't mandatory that you follow these directions, but it is helpful to look at as a guide. This book is basically a guide, and that's something to remember. It does go over the different types of interfacings, which is incredibly handy because as you get into more intermediate and advanced cosplay, you will probably want to start interfacing and lining your cosplays to help give them structure, flexibility, and to help give them shape in certain areas when you need it. And so, of course, this takes you step by step on how to prepare fabric, including the interfacing, how to mark it. It even goes over basic pattern alterations, and these are actually divided by the different body shapes that you might encounter, such as high bust, low bust, prominent abdomen, flat abdomen, sway back, different things. And like I said earlier, unfortunately, this is geared toward the feminine figure. They do not actually have male figure issues in here covered. Some of them will apply to males, but most of them won't. So unfortunately, that is a downside. The book then moves to different types of seams, and as you can see, each photo shows you step by step not only what to do, but it shows you how it should end up when you're finished. Basically, this is like a cookbook for sewing. It shows you the materials you need, the steps you need to take, and how it should end up, or taste, at the end. Although, please, I do ask that you don't taste your sewing. It covers closures in an entirely separate area, going over things like buttons, zippers, hooks and eyes, and other various basic closures. This book is no encyclopedia by any means, but as a basic reference, it's fantastic. This does actually go into things like shaping shoulders on jackets, tailoring collars and lapels, things that you probably won't necessarily find on a basic cosplay, but when you start moving into things like Black Butler, then you may start wanting to look into these and get those techniques under your belt, even just as practice, since you will eventually probably encounter them. Like I said, there will be things in here that may not necessarily apply to your cosplay, such as swimsuits, bibs, draperies, various things that may not necessarily apply directly to your cosplay, but they are good techniques to have. Something like applique may not directly apply to your cosplay, but it is definitely a good thing to have under your belt. In the very end of the book, after all of the home decor section, there is in fact an index. It's laid out, of course, alphabetically, so if you want to look something up by simple phrase or vocabulary, you can certainly do that. One of the other downsides to the book is that it does not have a glossary. So unfortunately, if you don't know what a term means in the book, you either have to have a sewing dictionary next to you or an internet connection where you can look it up. The book can be found at any normal bookstore, retailer such as Barnes & Noble and such. You can also find it online at places like Amazon or Half.com. The book normally retails for about $20. If you look hard enough, you can probably find one for far less. My copy I actually ended up purchasing from Half Price Books for half off, so I ended up getting this for $10. But even if you end up paying the full $20 price for this, it is well worth the price. I highly recommend this. I keep this around as a reference, if nothing else. It may as well be titled Sewing for Dummies, because heaven knows I have been a dummy when sewing some of my cosplays. And this is a very good step-by-step beginner's reference to most basic sewing techniques. Highly recommended. I think every sewer should honestly have this in their collection, even if it's just as a basic reference to get started. Well worth the cost. And that is the complete photo guide to sewing by the Singer Sewing Company.
For this cost procedure, we are going to do some basic macrame techniques. Macrame is making knots to create a pattern. It can be used to make jewelry, belts, sweaters, wraps, and the like. You can use it in cosplay for more extravagant costumes and competition pieces. I'm making this a picture tutorial because macrame can be a little tricky to understand at first, and having to pause the video several times and waiting for a person's hand to move out of the way can get a bit annoying, so I hope that you all find this method useful. The materials that you need are scissors, measuring tape or a yardstick, jewelry wire, and your cord. In this case, I use yarn, but there is macrame cord or hemp cord available. First, you'll want to take your jewelry wire and create the size and shape of the final form. For me, this is going to be an armband, so I need to make sure that it's wide enough to fit over my hand and my wrist. This is going to be your anchoring point for your macrame. Now you need to figure out how much yarn or cord that you're going to need. Most simple bracelets and earrings will only need 4 to 6 strands. Because you're making a bunch of knots, the cord gets eaten up pretty fast, so you want to cut a little more than necessary to ensure your final piece is the right length.
as a good rule of thumb, you always want to double the length of your cord twice. So if you're making a necklace at 12 inches long, double it to 24 and then double again to 48 inches. It's easier to have excess cord than to run out of it. After cutting your cords, anchor them to the jeweler's wire. You can do this with a simple knot called an overhand knot, which is just like tying a shoelace. Pass the cord through the jeweler's wire and knot it so that way you have two strands of the same cord at equal lengths. After knotting, anchor your jeweler's wire. Most people will use a clipboard. I got creative and used the end of my sewing case. Now this next section, I'm going to go over a few of the basic knots that will work for a number of projects. Separate out your strands. Most knots will have you use four strands of cords, so try and keep yours grouped in sets of four. The first knot is the most basic and used of the bunch, the square knot. You're going to use four cords for this one. Your two working cords will be the outer left and outer right. The two in the center will stay fixed. Take the left cord and pass it over the top of the two fixed cords and under the right cord. Take the right cord and pass it under the fixed cords and then through the open space of that left cord. Pull the right and left cords until they are tight. This is a half knot. Now repeat these steps in reverse. Take that new right cord and pass it over the fixed and under the new left cord. Take the new left cord and go under the fixed cords and through the open space of the new right cord. And that's it, you have a square knot, and you can continue on from there. Here is a version of it when it's finished using multiple cords. This next one is called the double buttonhole. Again, you need to have four cords, two working and two fixed. Start by making a square knot at the top. Now take the left outermost cord and loop it under the adjoining fixed cord, and then back over it to make a loop. Pull it tight and move it to the top. Keep looping and pulling about 10 times. Then repeat it on the right side. When you're done with this, make another square knot. And this is your first double buttonhole. Keep repeating this process and then you'll soon see a pattern emerge. The last one I'm going to show you is called a chain sennet. This is also another basic knot and only requires one really, really, really long cord. With the secure end on top, you'll want to make a loop on the right-hand side. Take the cord and pass it under the secure portion as shown in the image. Now take the working end near that loop and make another loop. Pass this new loop through the old one on the right. Gently pull tight. Your working cord will always stay on the left-hand side. The first loop you made will slide over the new one and turn into a knot. And that's all there is to it. Keep looping and knotting until the desired length. A lot of hemp bracelets are made using this technique. To finish it off, you can use a simple knot by taking the working end and passing it through the loop twice. These are just three of the most basic knots you will use in macrame. With enough time and patience, you can create some amazing pieces that will make your cosplay stand out. If you'd like for me to demonstrate more of these techniques, please contact us through our website, Facebook, or DeviantArt account.
All right, we will be covering assembling an emergency repair kit for cosplay.
This is just kind of a general idea for the repair kit. You're obviously probably not going to carry this entire box of sewing stuff, but the idea is things that are really easy for you to take with you to a convention, but won't take up a whole lot of your space. So most probably feels like a 1 gallon size bag and you're good to go. So let's go ahead and open up your sewing kit. I know you got a really big sewing kit.
Yep, I end up bringing my entire box with me just because it has everything you could possibly need to repair a cosplay very quickly if it has to do with sewing. So, a couple of the things I have in here, you actually won't need to repair them, but some of the essentials are, this is a seam ripper, just in case you actually need to rip part of a seam to stitch it back together again. This is a seamstress best friend, or worst enemy, actually, sometimes, depending on things. I also have something called Stitch Witchery. This is basically a fusible web that you can use to fuse a hole or a tear together. Note, this is also one of those really last-minute fixes. Don't use this to actually try and put your costume together, because Stitch Witchery isn't the greatest at holding things together. It's really temporary at best.
Yeah, we recommend Stitch Witchery just for the last-minute fix, but also because you need an iron or something hot in order to press against and work, and mm-hmm. most hotel rooms will have an iron and an ironing board right there for you.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully most of this kit is something you can use in a hotel room. We've tried to assemble things that you can use with a minimum of materials that are additional. I also have, if you notice in here, underneath my machine needles, I do have some clothespins. These will help you to hold larger things together. If you need to hold clothing together, of course, you want to take normal, conventional sewing pins. But these are if you need to hold larger things together. Also, I have a wide selection of hand needles. You can get these, obviously, at Walmart, as listed on the package, or you can get it at your favorite hobby store or retailer. You don't have to bring 24 of them. I just happen to bring it because it's in this package. But you do want to bring some sort of hand needles with you. I do have assorted spare threads. These happen to come in the sewing kit, but if you want to just bring a couple of simple spools of black and white, maybe some monofilament, if you want to be able to match any sort of color, just make sure you bring some sort of thread that matches your costume. Bear in mind, if you bring monofilament, the thread isn't the strongest in the world. It's, again, a temporary fix. Mm-hmm. I know I keep repeating that, but it's a temporary fix. Also, you want to carry a pair of scissors. These are embroidery scissors. You can carry any kind of scissors. You can carry those little blunt school scissors if you really want to. Just carry a pair of scissors. And I think that is all for all of the major sewing things. I do have a marking pen, but you won't need that for emergencies. So that is everything.
She brings an entire kit with her. Mine kit is actually really, really simple. Usually all I have with me is like one needle that I stick in a piece of paper so it doesn't get lost, and then three or four spools of thread of the costumes that I have. Usually there'll be one black, one white, one red, and one in a blue color, and I stick it into a smaller baggie. It's just something really simple and easy for me to carry around, not have to worry about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Either way, you just want to make sure that you carry the basics. More or less for hand sewing.
Definitely.
You want to carry anything that you would use for hand sewing because that's what you'll be doing when you fix your costume.
Since you probably won't have your machine with you.
Makes perfect sense. So I'm actually going to scoot this out of the way.
There we go.
That's everything that you need for sewing and clothing repairs, mm-hmm. for the basics. The next thing that might happen to you at a convention would be for minor prop repairs. If you have something fall off your prop, if you have a ding in the paint, if you have a crack somewhere, these are minor things that don't actually affect the structure of your prop, things that don't affect its integrity. So we have a wide variety of things here that you may or may not need in the last minute to actually repair minor problems in your prop.
I think the most obvious is probably going to be the hot glue and the hot glue gun, which
yes.
Every craft store and all Walmart and all Target probably still carries these.
Mm-hmm. If you're worried about space for packing, it's usually better if you can find the mini. They do come in full size if you
mm-hmm.
do wish to carry that with you. Just these are easier because they're smaller for packing purposes. They come in multiple temperatures. Do bear that in mind when you purchase your glue gun. You can get low temp, high temp, and multi temp.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty self-explanatory. Likewise, when you get your glue sticks, make sure you get the correct one for your glue gun. Because if you end up getting high temp glue sticks for a low temp gun, it's not going to work.
So bad things happen.
Just something to pay attention to. Make sure you get the right kind of glue sticks specifically made for your hot glue gun.
And of course, you don't need to take the entire bag of glue sticks with you. Probably no more than 5 or 6. I mean, some people take up to 10 or 20
mm-hmm.
if absolutely necessary. You probably won't even need it. It's just there for emergency.
True. This is not making your prop out of hot glue. Although, if you do lose something that was made of hot glue, you may wish to carry more, just in case. But another basic thing that all cosplayers should probably take with them, no matter what the repair, is tape. We have packing tape in this hand and masking tape in this hand. Every cosplayer should carry some sort of tape with them, just because this is one of those all-purpose repair things that, like duct tape, fixes everything.
Yeah. Duct tape is also another option, especially since they've been coming out with more colors and patterns as of late. Like, I just saw camouflage and polka dot at the store the other day. And yes, they do make this in duct tape and hot pink duct tape. So that's always another option, too.
You have your most general glue of all. It doesn't necessarily have to be tacky glue. Tacky glue just happens to be the one that I bring with me. They do come in travel-size containers that are about this big,
mm-hmm.
actually, if you don't want to bring the whole thing. Speaking of lack of tack, you have super glue. Now, I personally don't have anything against super glue, except that it should only be used for very small things as emergency repairs. This will not hold anything major on, because super glue just doesn't have that kind of strength. So it's okay to use this to repair things. One of the other things that I like to carry... Sorry if I'm kind of stepping in front here, I've just had a lot of props break. I speak from experience.
Paint.
I carry paint.
Acrylics are your friend.
Yes, I like to carry paint in the colors of my prop, or in the very least, I like to carry sealant to prevent the crack
mm-hmm.
from actually getting bigger. But this is in case you have any sort of dents, chips, cracks, things that happen to your coat of paint where the underbody shows through, where you have the core showing. This will help temporarily mask it, I mean, yes, you'll be able to see it, but this will help you mask that imperfection, at least until you can get home and fix it.
Fix it, exactly.
Something else you may want to consider bringing are stabilizers. Something to hold up your prop while it dries or while you are fixing it. These just happen to be wooden dowels. I can use these to brace something that I am fixing if I need to. If the prop is smaller, you can use popsicle sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use the larger dowels if you want, although those are a little bit harder to carry in luggage, quite frankly, because they're 3 feet long. But basically, you need something with which to brace your prop, especially if it's flat, to make sure it stays flat as you fix it. Otherwise, you may end up fixing your prop, and it's even more crooked than it was before. This is a different product you can use. I'm sure some of you have seen this before. This is called Rigid Wrap. This is basically plaster cloth that you wet and let dry. I use this because it's something you can use in any hotel room. It doesn't produce fumes, it doesn't ignite, although it does actually get fairly warm, so do not do this near anything that you can light on fire. We do not want you lighting your hotel room on fire in the name of cosplay. All you have to do is just wet it, wrap it around the prop, and let it dry. This is something I actually like to carry with me for any sort of detailed repairs. This is actually a floral decor kit, but it has things like pliers that I can use if I need to twist wire or move parts of props back into place as I repair them. It also has a pair of good scissors that are spring-loaded. It does have a pocket knife. Please be careful with these. Do not cut anything more than what is intended, including yourself, because blood does not go well on cosplay. And it has a pair of wire cutters if you need to actually cut something off of your cosplay. All of these are really useful things. The only thing I would add to this kit would be a good clamp, if you can bring one with you in case you need to hold something down to a table while you're repairing it. A clamp is definitely good to have if you have any large props, just in case. All of this in the kit is just in case.
So that is how to assemble an emergency repair kit. There we go.
All right.
Hopefully you all find that useful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Those were some fantastic segments for today. I hope you guys learned a little something, at least in watching them. Thank you for downloading this show, and hopefully we'll see you next episode.